Welcome to Digging the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldin, and this week my guest is Linda Brim, and we're going to talk about, all kinds of things. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Ann.
All right, so what's up first?
Well, we talked about garden resolutions, and really, that's all over the map. So to reel that in, what I wanted to focus on this morning was to help people really develop their best garden based on some key choices that everybody has to look at the beginning of the year as you start staging what you're going to plant, what you're going to buy for seeds, the varieties that you choose, looking back on what was successful and not successful, and really taking a hard look at how do you use your garden. You know, what are the times that you're going to be harvesting things that you grow? Are you going to be on vacation? Are you, you know, we've talked about this before. If you have kids that play sports, you don't want to be having to do a bunch of harvesting during baseball season. You know, in the next couple months, people should be out there pruning. If you're considering an orchard and you go to Arizona in the wintertime, then it's probably not very likely that you're going to get pruning done. So how to get around these decisions and really make good choices so that you can enjoy your garden to its fullest.
Okay, so then if you're a snowbird and you go away and you want to plant an orchard, maybe you better hire somebody to tend it, to prune it, to
exactly
take care of it.
And, you know, as they're starting out, you don't need to do a lot of pruning, but the pruning that does happen to young trees is really key to get them off to a good start. And keeping four-legged vermin out, you know, if you've got deer and you leave, they're really going to do a lot of damage. You'll come back and you'll find, you know, horn rubs and they'll chew everything off. I've even had deer come in and chew bare stems. You know, they're right now they're dormant. So I just assumed I was in the clear, but not so. They are actually eating the bare stems off of my newly grafted, you know, blood, sweat, and tears poured out on these little babies, and the deer got in and ate them. So, yeah, you really need to plan ahead for how to deal with things that come along while you're gone. So if you have a neighbor, a reliable neighbor that would enjoy maybe babysitting your garden for you, that would be a good option, or just hiring someone to come in and do the things that need to be done on a schedule.
So if you have new fruit trees that you planted in the last year or two, what needs to happen this winter with them?
You really need to be looking at developing good crotch angles. So you may need to put some spreaders in or take out some real wimpy growth that's going to just hang down and possibly just go lateral with too much growth. If it doesn't have enough oomph and enough diameter to it, it's never going to develop into a real strong stem to hold fruit, then you want to take those out. I do want to plug Ross Pelligan's pruning class that is available through the Master Gardener program. If you contact the office and sign up for the class, the orchard pruning demonstration happens in the afternoon, but the morning pruning class is going to be on February 11th. And you can call the OSU Master Gardener office and get signed up for that if you're interested. It's an awesome day.
It was one of the most eye-opening, amazing things that you could really just, what looks like, destroy a tree and actually see ones that he had done the year before or 2 years before and see how it impacts, in a positive way, the growth and the development of the tree.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And he'll also point out what to do, you know, he'll point out things that went wrong in this orchard and help you choose good trees when you're buying trees. We don't always have the luxury of selecting a tree if you mail order, because what you get in the mail is what you're stuck with. But when you buy trees from a nursery, you want to really look them over good and make sure that they've got a nice, good structure to start with. So he'll point those things out. He'll point out things like, were they planted too high, too low in the soil? Are rodents getting to the base? Because a lot of times rodents will get in, they'll really do a lot of damage to the just right around the graft at the soil line. They'll start eating that bark, because it's pretty luscious for them. And especially if you've put mulch around your trees, they'll get in there and find a nice, cozy, warm spot. But short of that, if you can't take that class and you want to learn more about pruning, there's, you know, invest in a good book. There's also a lot of handouts from OSU. And,
you know, and there are a fair amount of YouTube and other videos explaining how to prune.
There are.
You probably want to make sure that the person giving the advice has some credentials, something to back up what they're saying.
Right. And if you go to nursery YouTube postings, a lot of times they're very regional specific. So
nice.
It's not going to help you learn how to prune a Meyer lemon if you really want to prune a walnut in Oregon. So, you know, it's site variety specific, obviously, is going to be important. Mm-hmm. Try to find things that are university-based information, because there's a lot of it out there. And mm-hmm. Also look at the year, because especially when it comes to chemicals, laws change, chemicals change, biologicals come on the market. So there might be something that's new to the market that will be completely non-toxic, as opposed to pulling something out of your chemical arsenal in the garage that is not even on the market anymore and is really
has been
highly toxic.
Be, right.
So you wouldn't even want to use that. You'd want to be looking for the next scheduled hazardous chemical disposal date. So, and there is one coming up. They do have those every year. So,
oh, good. You know, before we go on, I want to go back to the idea of what's wrong with ordering a tree online?
Nothing.
Well, potentially. Barry ordered a persimmon. He wanted to get a persimmon that would fruit last year. So that he bought, or he paid for, a 10-foot tree coming from somebody somewhere. So this box arrived, bare root, right, in last winter. And the box was not 10 feet long.
No.
So right off the bat, there was a problem.
Could it have been in metrics?
Well, it said on the website 10 feet. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
And then the top part of the tree died, and we ended up with about a 5-foot tree. And you can imagine that not only was there no fruit, there was a lot of back and forth with the company, who took zero responsibility for, one, lying, and two, providing a less than healthy specimen. So I think that for us, the lesson is, don't buy online. If you can't actually see and touch and talk about the tree, don't get it.
There are some good bare root regional suppliers. They aren't going to have all the varieties that people are going to be looking for. Persimmons are really difficult to grow here. I ordered some from one of our wholesale bare root suppliers, and I think we got in 25, and of the 25, less than half took. But these were really small trees. The other thing that you want to be looking at, don't be looking at the height so much. Be looking at the caliper of the tree.
Which is the width of the stem.
Yes. So
the trunk.
If they're like a quarter inch, they're going to be about the size of a pencil. That's going to take eons, you know, a good 5 to 7 years for that tree to really be productive. And during that time, you're really going to have to baby it. So it's not so much about height. Again, it's diameter. You can buy a whip that is very, very thin, and you're going to end up cutting it down, which isn't a big deal. But then getting it started as far as developing the branching that you need, which Ross is an ace at teaching you how to do that, you're really starting from scratch. And if you don't know what you're doing, then you're going to need some help. So just, you know, face reality that ordering online isn't a bad thing. You can find things that aren't available in the trade locally. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But like you say, buy from a reputable company.
Mm-hmm.
And look closely and ask the question before you order. What happens if this tree fails? What happens if it ships and there's freezing weather and it's left on somebody's loading dock at UPS or FedEx or whatever, and it freezes? You know, do they guarantee that kind of thing? So
those would have been really good questions to ask.
Yes. And if you buy with your Visa card, usually you've got some protection there.
Ah.
Yeah. If they do make a promise that they don't keep. Mm-hmm. You know, if there was no guarantee or warranty implied, then you're kind of on your own.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the Master Gardeners are also another resource. People can sit in on classes, and Master Gardeners that have been through the program prior get priority. But I was able to sign up a friend of mine who's in the landscape maintenance trade to sit into Ross's pruning class, and that worked out well. So if you are interested and you're a member of the public and you want to kind of get your feet wet, I think it's a really good recruiting tool. So talk to the office about the possibility of doing that. I don't know what kind of room they have this year, so they may say no if it's full, but it doesn't hurt to try, and always, you know, get your foot in the door for next year if you are interested.
Right. Well, and it's still, let's see, I think the first class is tomorrow, right?
Yes.
So it's, you know, unless it's full, and if you've forgotten and you really want to take the Master Gardener class, you could call the extension office and get in.
Possibly, yes. Tomorrow's botany. The first half is going to be introductions and all the paperwork that's required. And then it starts with Michael Bunch's botany presentation. So, yeah, I would encourage anybody that kind of dropped the ball last before the holidays and still wants to get in, do give it a try.
Yeah.
Some other things that are coming up are the Northwest Flower and Garden Show, and they are back. It was dropped for a few years, but boy, I got so excited when I got the schedule because there are some fabulous classes coming up.
And it's not just like a flyer. This is a booklet.
Oh, it's a booklet.
It's a magazine.
Yes. And it's February 11th through the 15th at the Washington State Convention Center. They don't have the bus terminals. They don't have the car parks that they used to, where you could hop on and they had shuttles back and forth to specific car lots. So you do have to do a little advance scouting to make sure that you know where to park and how to get the right bus to get over there. But if you know Seattle at all, it's a piece of cake. It's right on I-5, so not hard to do. Some of my favorites, I don't get any of the, I think it's Como for Cisco's radio shows, but Cisco's always been one of my favorites to go see at the Northwest Flower and Garden Show. But there's a lot of different classes in varying degrees of depth of training. Some of them are just little tidbits geared more for kids and beginners. Others are more in depth, and there'll be some cooking classes, classes on chemicals, pruning, you name it. It's available. And if you can, get a hotel, spend the night and do a couple days, because it really is a couple day event. And mm-hmm. they have a beautiful orchid show. Amazing orchid show. So that's a good one. And then also keep your radar on for other things that you can do locally, like the Lower Columbia Preservation Society's garden tour is traditionally the second weekend in July. And I know that because I always have a conflict with that one. But that's one that you'll learn a lot from other local gardeners and actually get to see what's working for them. And maybe what isn't working, and you can kind of pick people's brains and network.
Where is that one?
They have it in different homeowners' gardens, so it probably hasn't been scheduled yet.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a fundraiser for Lower Columbia Preservation Society.
Oh, that? Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's always a lot of fun. And then the CASA Tour and the Lower Columbia Assistance League does a home tour. I don't know if they're doing a garden tour. And then there's several down in South County in the later part of the summer. Also a fun one, I haven't done it in a couple of years, but Pam Fleming offers the seaside gardens, the municipal gardens that are just sidewalk bump out gardens. She'll do a downtown walking tour and a talk about what grows really well in seaside, so close to the beach. It's amazing.
And the Water Music Festival has a wonderful garden tour that we do most years. And the last 2 years have been absolutely fabulous.
Do you know when it is?
It's like in July.
Is it?
Yeah.
I was thinking it was later. I've missed it the last couple of years, but that is a fun one. I haven't done that one in a long time.
It is amazing. People are so generous with their yards. This year, there were two adjacent gardens on the Willapa Bay. So you could just walk from one to the other.
Nice.
Like you were on somebody's big estate, which it probably was at some point.
Yeah.
And yeah, they had keys to their beds. And
wow.
It was lovely. And maps. And what one of the gardens had a list of the plants that had failed in that yard. And what, and then also what was surviving.
Interesting.
And that one was on right at the beach. So they were really like, these things don't seem to work in the at the beach or at my beach.
Yeah, it's a really good way to learn about the area and just be inspired. You know, sometimes we just get bored and we need a new vision and a new direction for our gardens. And, you know, the best ideas are stolen from somebody else.
Absolutely. So. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. You are listening to Dig in the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with the co-owner of Brim's Farm and Garden, and we're talking about fun things to do this year. If you want to join the conversation, give a call 503-325-0010, and we'll be right back. We're back. You're listening to Dig in the Dirt, and I'm with Linda Brim, and we're talking about what you can do in this coming year. So we were, before we started, we were talking about how to achieve your goal next year, and I find it so hard to think about because I'm looking out there and things look pretty grim, and I'm not really interested in going out there at all. So
they're really not. It's amazing. When you do go out, what you'll see blooming. And I think that's a big mistake that we make is we just kind of hunker down and, you know, we pour over the seed catalogs when really we should be out in the garden looking at the hellebores and, you know, the violas, things that are popping up here and there, the camellias, rhododendrons that are starting to bud up. And I'm on a pussy willow watch because it's always exciting when the days start getting longer and the pussy willows start getting, you know, they're swelling. So, and that happens so fast. We turn the corner so fast from cold, dreary, wet, which today really isn't. It's going to be a pretty nice day once the fog lifts, but there's a lot to do. So I'd really like to kind of reel it back in and talk about things that people need to assess to keep from being so all over the map with their garden and really focus on what do you want to do for the year? Do you want to eat better? Do you want to incorporate more exercise? By working in the garden more, anger management. I'll tell you, there's no better way to beat stress than go out and do some nitrogen depletion on a bed of bindweed or, you know, whatever you've got, little seedlings coming up, even just grass, you know, with a hoe. Just go out there and beat the ground up and you've worked up a sweat and you go back in the house and you feel a whole lot better and the weeds are going to be gone. So,
one of my favorite things when I'm in those moods, whether it's I'm angry or I'm frustrated, is to actually get a shovel and just dig some holes, you know, turn some dirt around, do something.
You might want to call 811 first so that you don't dig up a water line. That could be a problem. But you also, we talked about, you know, just kind of getting in a rut. Maybe it's time to do something fun. My husband grows a great big, huge pumpkin patch. And, you know, you might think about things you can donate to the food bank or to neighbors or make gifts for different occasions. You know, maybe you're really good at doing preserves, you know, turn that area that isn't growing anything, put a strawberry patch in where you can make some strawberry preserves or, you know, rhubarb pie. I mean, there's just so many things that you could do that you can share with people and have a multifunctional garden. Keep a diary so that you know what's perpetually failing. You know, we keep trying to grow that perfect heirloom tomato, you know, the big slicing tomato, But the reality is we just need short date tomatoes that, you know, maybe you're going to do better with a cherry sized tomato.
Definitely. And, yeah. You know, we've pared it down to fewer varieties of tomato. We grow them pretty much only in the greenhouse. And last year we didn't get great production, even though it was a great year, because we didn't pot them up big enough.
Oh, so they got root bound possibly?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Because
we didn't get the proliferation that we should have had.
Yeah. So grow what you love. I mean, if you love cut flowers, you know, figure out which ones are going to hold up in a vase. We particularly are fond of salsa. We make gallons. My husband and I kind of run a competition who can make the most salsa in a summer, and we make gallons of it. We give a lot of it away, and we eat a ton of it. Dahlias I love. So I'm going to talk to Joni this year at the mm-hmm. Spring Garden Seminar and get some dahlias from her. All of mine froze out. If you like mint tea, grow some mint. It's easy. Keep it in a container.
Keep it in a container.
Yes.
It's a thug. Okay, we had a call from someone who wanted to know what to do this time of year about slugs.
Don't ignore them. That's the worst thing to do. They shouldn't be real visible right now. Mm-hmm. So they're underground. They're subterranean in the colder weather. You kind of miss that opportunity in the fall. You really want to do a good slug patrol in the fall. We use our chickens and slug bait. So as soon as things start emerging, when your gardens...
So not now.
Well, you could. There's no reason why, you know, temperatures today, you know, on the 50s. High 50 range. Yeah. If you have some boards laid out, some old economy, you know, old 2x4s or any kind of a fence board, lay it out in the area of the beds that you're concerned about, and the slugs will crawl under there. And then you pick them up and throw them in a bucket of salt water, or put them in a Ziploc bag and throw them in the garbage, get rid of them. And you'll also find slug eggs in there too when it starts warming. Okay. So that's the easiest way that I know of to...
So throwing out sluggo.
I wouldn't use slug bait right now.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to get as good of effective kill as you would just from hand picking from underneath containers. Go around and actually pick your containers up, check under the saucers and make sure they're not hiding out under there. You'd be surprised what you'd find. And even in the greenhouse, we go through and check all of the holes on the containers to make sure there's no slugs hiding in there, because they will hide out there and either crush them or drown them, get rid of them.
Yeah. Okay. So don't ignore them.
One thing I did want to talk about real quick before we get sidetracked again, which we tend to do.
Nah.
There's so much to talk about, so little time, is soils are in varying degrees healthy. Well, there's just so many options out there for soil now. So be careful when you're buying soils, because as we get into seed starting season, if you're making your own soil or buying compost from any source, make sure if it does not have the OMRI listing that you pre-sprout. There was a Master Gardener program last year, one of the Metro groups that sells over 10,000 tomato seedlings at a big sale, had their seedlings fail because there was an herbicide residue. The theory is the herbicide residue in the pyridine carboxylic acid group. And there's three chemicals. They're the most persistent herbicides. And I wasn't able to find out if they actually tested to nail it down to that group. But
how did it get in there?
It came in a commercially bagged potting mix.
Whoa.
So what was happening was the source for this soil company was evidently landfill material. And because it had the herbicide residue on the grass, and it doesn't break down quickly, it ended up in the soil. No amount of cooking will break these down quickly. So you need the bioremediation that happens in the soil naturally over time for that to dissipate. But when you're talking about something that's quickly prepared, as well, we say quickly, months or maybe a year, that's not enough time for this stuff to break down. So what do you do? If you're getting something from a recycle yard or soil that, you know, even though it's tested, you want to test yourself before you get into a great big project. And the way you do that is you can take small containers and pre-sprout. So you're going to have a test soil of one that you know is safe, mm-hmm. like a small bag of potting mix that's OMRI listed. And then if you're doing a great big project and you want to test a new soil, you would do three different pots with three or four seeds of either peas or beans and keep them in the same place, warm, light, keep them moist but not drowning. Make sure that your water tray, so that when the water goes through these pots, doesn't intermingle. So that would that would skew everything if the water is common. You want to keep them in separate trays. And see if they sprout. This should sprout quite rapidly. Within a week, you'll know. So if they don't come up, and the group of the soil that you're concerned about, the new group, if they don't come up, there's something wrong with the soil. And in looking back, in looking at this problem, I actually had a customer last year that came in. She showed me a tomato plant that had really wrinkled leaves, and they were just, it was just around the edges. It was kind of a crinkly appearance. And that's classic for this kind of herbicide damage. So it just really opened up Pandora's box. And I've really started digging in to research this more. But it is something for people to be aware of, because even with some of our grass mulches that we use, like straw mulch, we haven't had any problem with it, with the straw that we use. But it's good for people to be aware of this, because if you're using animal manures as well, the animals could have possibly eaten a grass crop that was treated with this. And then it could express itself in crop failures in your garden. So the herbicide issue is, one that we try to avoid at all costs. But it's something to think about.
So if you buy a bag of something and it says organic, that should not be an issue, yes?
Well, I can't say organic. It's going to have the OMRI listing. So look for that OMRI listing. If it says natural.
Natural doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean a thing.
Right.
Save your money.
Right.
So, yeah, just be on the safe side and do some soil testing. It's kind of fun to experiment with. So that's going to be one of the first questions I have. When the soils person is here for the Master Gardener program is, you know, how can people test for this? Because it, you know, as we get into more organics and growing our own food crops, you know, people are a lot more aware of this. So,
Well, the last thing you want to do when you're making your own garden is poison your plants or your family.
Right. And this is rare, but it is something that we do see. So
did they lose the entire tomato crop?
The majority of it. I don't know every one of them failed.
That's their biggest fundraiser of the year.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. It was very devastating. So we all learned a lot from that. But it did open Pandora's box. Yeah. There's a lot more to know.
Okay, so the Master Gardener class starts tomorrow, but you need to call the office and talk to Stacy. The phone number is 503-325-8573. And the classes are happening at Clatsop Community College. But when you call, you have to pre-register, so you have to call there. This Sunday at 2 p.m. at the First Lutheran Church at 725 33rd in Astoria will be a meeting of the Sunset Empire Orchid Society. If you've been a member in the past, or you are a member, or you're not and you're interested in orchids, it might be the last meeting. If you're interested in what happens to that organization in the future, come to the meeting. And let's see. I have one more thing. Liz Covey, who has been a guest on this program, is a therapist, is going to be leading two workshops on current approaches to child treatment for both professionals and parents. It's trauma-informed and about attachment. Subsequent Thursdays, January 22nd and 29th from 6 to 9 in the Guy Boynton Building on Commercial Street in Astoria. If you have any questions, you can call the radio station at 325-0010. Thank you so much, Linda.
Thank you. I can't
believe we, as usual, we ran out of time.
Yep, again.
You're listening to Dig in the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldine. Talk to you in a week. Have a great one.